Sabotaged Entertainment presents As the Dog Digs, a podcast where we brew some coffee, listen to a little jazz, and examine all of the great mysteries of the world and life itself. I am Tom, joined here by my co-host Seth, and we are here to chase rabbits with you.
Good evening, world. It's a pleasure to disgrace or entertain your eardrums again. Happy early New Year's. This is your co-host, Seth, and I'm joined by my good co-host and friend, Tom Meadows, and also by Valerie.
There.
Howdy, howdy. It's a, again, a pleasure to grace your eardrums. We're just getting a little effort up on, what is it? What is today, Sunday?
Sunday, December 31st, New Year's Eve.
Yes, my second favorite holiday besides Thanksgiving. I don't know about our listeners, but I love New Year's because it is a time for me to look back and reflect on what have I fucked up on this year or what have I done right, you know?
Yeah, I can agree. What were the good times? What were the bad times? What were the times we could have done better? What are the times that we make better decisions for in the future, in the next year? What are we going to try to make different about the by the end of next year? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm taking a look back on, and actually, all of a host of today, ladies and gentlemen, we all have had great connections this year. It started off mainly in, when was the first time you and Owen came over, Val?
I think around May. June.
But it was
June, yes. Early summer.
Yeah, that was the first time I met Val and Owen this summer, and now for those of our listeners who don't know, they are now living with us.
Yay, us.
Yeah. Yes. Pleasure to have you aboard our ship of failed dreams and miseries.
glad to
runs
be
the
here.
Board?
Yep, and and co-host Tom, he moved in April. Yay.
And it was an experience, too. Like, the first time I moved in, I felt like I was walking on eggshells because I'm not used to living with somebody else that's not, like, I either previously knew or a family member. Because with you, I met you at work.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
It was kind of like it was a really big leap because I didn't know you that well.
But you knew me enough to trust me, I guess.
But you remember, like, for the first week or so, I was like, every 5 seconds, I'd be like, you good? We okay? Is everything fine?
Yeah, it even got to the point where it kind of frustrated me to the point where, ladies and gentlemen, where I even said, Tom, it's okay. You do not have to ask if I'm okay literally every morning of every day. Like, no, I'm not okay. Thanks for asking. But yes, I get it. Are you okay, bud? Let me ask you this while you're sleeping in your bed. Are you okay? Let me shake you while you're sleeping. I'm okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know, dude. I'm just like so uncomfortable around people.
I feel
in
that.
General, and it's just like until I get to know them better, it's like I get more comfortable. But there's still that line, and it was a big leap for me to like move in. So
I feel like I've gotten a lot better. I'm not such a hermit.
It don't matter. Just go with whatever. Like, what was your biggest accomplishment this year, 2023?
I think my biggest accomplishment in 2023 was getting a stable job. I mean, it might not seem like a lot, but to me it's a big deal because I'm kind of tired of job hopping. I'm tired of working for places that A, don't appreciate me, or B, that just bore me. And But I think with the job that I have now, it is meaningful in a way, but at the same time, I am bored with it. I'm not going to lie, but I'm still grateful that I have a source of income.
Yeah. Like, I'll be straight up, it's the most paying job I've ever had. Like, as far as that goes, like, I'm not fond of the hours.
Yeah, the night hours, I agree. They do suck.
But, I mean, right now it's paying the bills, so obviously it's something I got to stick with as long as I can. It's just what scares me the most is that it's going to get to where it's going to pull too much away from everything else that I'm trying to work on. Because I'm trying to work on school And if I'm being honest, I'm trying to work on my social skills. I'm trying to work on how I communicate with people and shit like that. And that gets really hard.
Yeah.
Trying to juggle that, because I feel obliged when people come over to spend time with them, because I'm like, well, this is my house. I'm the host. I need to be there.
I mean, yeah, technically, because it's like, why else would they come over?
Yeah, so I want to give them this image that when they come over that I'm, you know, I'm going to be here ready to be here, ready to give them what they need and make sure that they're well taken care of.
Understandable.
And it's like, I want to socialize more because I want to build on that foundation more. So trying to juggle that with school, work, and then trying to just work on myself personally, like just mentally.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot.
It gets overwhelming. It does.
How about you, Val? What is one thing that you're grateful for 2023?
My mental clarity.
Yeah.
That is like the main thing.
I can see that.
Past 2 years were not it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the worst thing you had to go through, if you don't mind sharing? Or at least the one thing that just like drained you the most.
Losing my very well-paid job over my temper. So.
That's fair.
Yeah. So that was a.
Would you care to elaborate?
Just for our listeners.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel
there's
a story
okay.
behind this.
It is.
And I want to hear it.
I cleaned houses for almost like 2 years. And I got paid like $800 a week, plus tips and presents, whatever gifts Daniel. We would receive. And then I worked for my boyfriend Owen's, his sister. And we had a car from her. And I had a... I don't know if it was an allergic reaction or whatever, but I still have the pictures of it from like a chemical reaction that I had all over my chest. So I had called out one day, and I had only called out maybe like 5 times out of the whole entire time I had worked for her. And then she fired me because we was paying extra for the car that we had,
mm-hmm.
and also giving her more and... me working more than any other employee, along with no raise after I was promised multiple raises.
Yeah.
So I just kind of snapped, and then I got fired, and then it fucked everything up.
Yeah.
So.
Well, to be fair, they were kind of jerking your chain a little bit.
Yeah.
Too, so.
But as for being real. The breadwinner of the household, it fucked everything up. So, yeah.
I could see that.
So then I just spent the next couple months working on my temper, I guess you would say.
That's fair.
So maybe if I did not cuss her out, I wouldn't have lost my job.
What has been, and this is a question for both of you, what has been the biggest adventure you've gone on in 2023? Like, it could be going to a city. It could be going to a national park. It could be... Hell, it could even be doing something online.
I'll go ahead and say it's me moving into here.
Yeah.
Moving in with you was my biggest adventure.
Moving in this area in general was the biggest adventure, because I've done a lot of shit since we moved up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Caves. Y'all have been on more hiking trails,
yeah.
and y'all...
All the trails, the caves, the rivers.
Yeah,
everything.
And y'all been to different places and restaurants, and yeah.
Hell yeah.
I could see that.
There's a lot up here.
It amazes...
what we're used to, just fucking bumfuck nothing.
It amazes me, like, how much there is, like, jam-packed in such a small area where there's not, like,
yeah.
a lot of people.
It's nice, though.
That.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's a good different.
I agree.
I've lived in a big city, but this is like the in-between,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah. Now, granted, I do enjoy the modern conveniences of the city and like having everything at your fingertips in the city. But I don't miss like the small expenses of the city. I don't miss like having to pay for parking if I go out. No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's another thing that that at some point I want to try to tackle. This is like a way future goal way down the line.
Let's hear it.
But like I am not used to city life at all.
Yeah.
Like, I did not get out enough growing up that I understood how, that I understand how city life works.
It's a big change, but it's a good change. Yeah. That was secluded a lot, too.
The farthest I've ever traveled is West Virginia.
Oh.
And obviously, West Virginia is probably not really much.
In fact,
it is different, but it's not much different than living in a place like this because it's still a southern state.
You should definitely take like a vacation or something.
In fact, why don't you tell our listeners, when was the first time you ever drove on an interstate?
The first time I ever drove on the interstate was 2023, this year. And it was all because I had to give my brother's girlfriend a ride to work. And on the way back, I had to take the interstate. And it was the first time that I ever drove the interstate myself.
How'd you feel when you were driving it?
I was anxious as fuck. Yeah, dude, man, I was just clenching the steering wheel. I wouldn't even play music. Like, I was,
wow.
I was afraid to touch my phone because I was just, like, deadlocked. Just trying to keep an eye on my everything all at once. And it freaked me out. Yeah.
I feel that. I still get really nervous on the interstate, especially when it rains.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, that gets me.
I'm terrified of tackling it on a day like that, especially if the car I'm driving's not in the best condition.
It's the
possible.
Big trucks for me. Yeah. The big trucks get me.
I've seen Final Destination way too many times.
Yeah. Most definitely.
I can't say much. I love driving on the interstate. I
do too when nobody else is on it. Like when it's kind of open, maybe a little car you
can
pass
I can
here
see.
And there.
That I can understand.
My favorite time driving on the interstate, and I don't know if this has ever happened to y'all, but say like there's a big flood of traffic, probably a good 10 seconds ahead of you got ahead of where you're driving at.
Yeah.
And then you look in your rearview mirror and there's like a huge flood of traffic like 10 seconds behind you. It's that one little moment where you're sandwiched in the interstate when there's nobody but you. Yeah. And I don't know, like that is my favorite time on the interstate, especially like driving on a crisp, clear morning coming north on Interstate 75. Like there's just something about it. Like I love being sandwiched in between like, hey, there's a huge flood of traffic, but it's 10 seconds ahead of me. Hey, there's a huge flood of traffic, but it's 10 seconds behind me, but like I got the interstate to myself. I can go in any lane I want, not even have to put on my blinker. Well, of course I want to put on my blinker for legal purposes.
Yeah,
but
of course.
You get what I'm saying. Like I could go to any lane legally and just like the interstate's mine in a way. Like I feel like I own it.
Like king of the road moment right there.
You're in
understand
wild
that.
Spot area.
Exactly.
Like nobody can technically call you a road hog, but nobody can call you the granny driver either.
Exactly. Like so, I feel like I'm in between a rock and a fun place.
Okay. I got to remember that. That's funny. I like that. A rock and a fun place. I like that.
I mean, you're in a shitty situation. You might as well have fun with it.
Switch all three lanes.
Yeah, all six when you get close to Atlanta.
Jesus Christ.
Forgot there is.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, like, Interstate 75 South going into Atlanta is probably the widest interstate system I've ever been on.
Yeah, the really? One I was on was only a four lane.
Oh, yeah. When you get, like, more into Atlanta, it turns into a six and, like, an eight lane in some places, so...
I feel like it's like that in between like Louisiana and Texas in some spots.
I could see that, especially in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Oh, absolutely.
Dude, could you imagine like driving in like the places in India?
Places where?
In India.
Ooh, oh, fuck
my God,
yeah.
Where it's like
they move like ants through fucking just so much width of a road.
Or like in France where there's just like free everything and they're just crossing
there's
each other.
There's no speed limits anywhere. Yeah.
I really want to drive on the world's most dangerous road in South America. That's where I really want to drive.
What is that?
I cannot remember for the life of me what country it's in, but I know it's in South America.
It has no speed limit.
Well, to be fair, no one's going to speed on this road because it's the world's most dangerous road. I want to say it's in Bolivia, but don't quote me on this. But apparently buses drive on it, tractors drive on
it. Oh, I think I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, and it's you can't fit two-way traffic light. People have to pull up on the ledge of the mountain just to let a car
by. Like where the big trucks get stuck in the curve.
Yeah.
Like when they're trying to go around, but the trailer just goes right over the curve.
Yeah.
I've seen videos
there's
of that.
There's buses falling over the edge.
Yeah.
That's the road I really want to try to drive on before I die. And there was also an expedition that Land Rover did back in the 80s. I can't remember what it was, but they would drive from the very, very tip of South America all the way up through Mexico, all the way up in America.
Oh, shit.
Hmm.
But I cannot remember for the life of me, but I remember Land Rover was the sponsor, and they're the ones who did it. So
yeah. That seems like the kind of thing Land Rover would use.
Yeah, this is back in the 80s when Land Rover built tanks. Like
I love Land Rovers.
I like the old 80s Land Rovers.
It's the Wild Thornberry cars. I love anything that looks like a Wild Thornberry car.
I'm not a
Jeep. I am not a Jeep fan.
Like newer or older Jeep fan?
The old ones. Oh, no, not the new ones. I don't like the new ones, but I like the old ones.
Yeah. I'm the same way with Land Rovers. Like, I like the old school 80s Defender.
The boxy.
The Defender series.
More deserty.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ones that could travel anywhere in the fucking world. You could travel from Antarctica to the Saharas to the fucking wherever you want to on planet, and it will go there.
Hmm?
Well, that sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. I'll take a universal tank vehicle over a sports car any day. Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I see the thrill of a very speedy car. I do see the thrill of that. But at the same time, the fact that I have access to anywhere in the world just appeals to me more than going fast down a drag strip.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I think it's more of a luxury thing.
I think so too, yeah.
Anything. Because I like a muscle car better than a sports car.
Oh, same.
I don't really care about a sports car.
Me neither. I don't like sports cars.
I feel like they're just too flashy. It's just for... like a luxury type.
Yeah. And I don't like supercars either. I like, I'm like you, I'm in the muscle car category.
Yeah. My first car was a 67 Mustang. And the only thing that I seen it was just the frame and it was rusted and it was barely hanging on. And I was like, I want that. And then me and my dad built it and it took 2 years to build it. And then the day we got it running, sold it.
Man.
For like $20,000 though. Because everything was original. But it had my name on the back, and that was my favorite part, where it said Mustang, because my name is the same letters as Mustang.
Yeah.
So I had my name, like, where it's supposed to say Mustang.
Damn.
Your name?
Valerie.
Yeah. So it's seven letters. Mustang.
She's only lived with us for, like, two fucking months already.
Okay, to be fair, I wasn't sure what you mean. I didn't know if you meant, like, your last name was an anagram.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't remember your last name, so I was like, what?
Well, whenever I got the car, it was just a frame. So, like, I didn't even have the symbols of Mustang. I had to order them.
Oh,
like,
shit.
I had to order literally everything.
Damn.
And it took a whole year to, like, find all the original pieces for an original motor, but get it looking brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had it painted with the flames on it, and it was, like, cut out of the roof.
Yeah.
It was fucking badass. Mm-hmm. But I was pregnant by the time I got it, and then I was like, fuck, can't even drive it.
Yeah.
Just do one last hoorah.
No, I crunk it up in the yard and then revved it up and somebody drove by and fucking bought it. Literally, that was all I did was just press the gas and before somebody bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was worth it because I got a shit ton of money out of it.
It's like you just get in the car and it's like... yum, 20 grand. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened.
It's one of those moments where you're like, well, fuck.
I was like 7 months pregnant, and I was desperate for a mom car. I was like, I can't put a fucking car seat in the back of this.
Well, seat ain't even big enough. I'm going to stop you right there.
Sure you could.
I'm
the
stop
seat belts
right
weren't even built like that for a car seat.
Hey, man, I'm just saying. When it became,
aftermarket parts, baby.
When it
no,
time,
I wanted everything original in it.
When all I'm saying is, when it came the time for you to give other kids rides, you would have been the most efficient.
I mean, I didn't do the mom thing. I bought a lifted truck with the money.
Oh, well, okay. Fair. My dad once got a hold of a Z28.
Hell yeah.
But it was...
Camaro?
Yeah.
My baby daddy had one of those.
It was rusted out. The floorboard was rotted out. It did. Oh, the no, I raced one of them. Good. It was, he got a hold of it for little to nothing. And that's the whole reason.
We paid like $1,400 for one and then rebuilt the, I think it was the transmission. And then I raced it, and that was the first time I had ever raced any kind of car. And I did a wheelie, and it scared the shit out of me. And then I slammed on the brakes, and that was it.
Nice. I
gave up.
I would love some to fucking race power one to it, though. Time. Just one time in my life, I would love to race.
Yeah, it was fun on the interstate. It backfired a lot, too. Oh, so it was funny. But it was more like you had to keep your foot on the gas because it was so old, or if you let your foot off the gas, it would cut off.
Yeah.
So if you're stopped at a red light, you had to hold your foot on the gas barely, but more on the brake. So you're just sitting there rocking back and forth.
You had to put a little bit more gas on it. Yep, it's New Year's Eve. We got a bonfire going outside.
We have 30 minutes.
Warmth.
We do simple. Have 30 minutes until 2024. Fuck yes.
Yeah, we got 30 minutes left.
I vote we do another bag before we light this blunt up for New Year's.
I'm all in.
All in.
I'm gonna go check on Odie.
Good idea. Valerie's old man, Owen, is our other roommate. He got drunk with us as well tonight, but he's probably the he is the one that drank the most out of all of us tonight, so he is crashing hard. So positive thoughts are appreciated for our buddy, roommate Owen.
Goddamn, he ain't dying, motherfucker.
He ain't dying, but he might wake up with a hell of a hangover.
Yep, and one of our old pals, he doesn't live with us, but Josh is actually passed out in the bathtub right now. So as of right now, it is just us three and our friend Ellie, who is over watching the New Year's ball drop in New York. It is literally just us chilling.
Yes.
How about it, ladies and gentlemen? If y'all want to comment on our website or any kind of things, tell us what you're doing for New Year's.
Absolutely. Like, we appreciate anything that is donated or any kind of feedback, because anything that tells us how we can grow to be better as hosts and presenters is just always appreciated. Every single bit of it is. It doesn't matter if it's a comment on a Facebook post or if it's a little like 25-cent donation or spreading the word about it to other people. It doesn't matter. Anything is appreciated. Word of mouth is always is just as good as word of social media.
In fact, the biggest reward I've gotten from this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, is seeing our different viewers worldwide and all the different countries that are listening abroad. And we give a shout out to y'all, and we give a shout out to our domestic users.
What's the furthest person who has, like, listened?
China.
China? Oh, shit.
But to be fair, we've got people in how many countries? China, Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. We're
Bangladesh.
How did you reach these people?
Spotify?
Really?
Spotify.
Oh,
we are not promoted by Spotify, but we would like to give our thanks to Spotify.
Oh, wait. Y'all sent us one on Spotify.
Spotify, it has a really nice platform for getting podcasts posted, so I just wanted to just give our appreciation to that, because that's what's given us our audience worldwide.
Hell yeah.
Very much appreciated.
Yeah, I am definitely grateful for... Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'll alter my mind a bit, but yeah, I am grateful for, like, having the capability to be able to reach y'all's ears. Like, that to me, the fact that I can live in an age where I can grace the entire world, or disgrace, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
That is so surreal.
It is. It's a real feeling. It really is. Like, I can speak into a mic and someone across the fucking world.
Literally. That's what I was thinking about, like, while you was talking.
Yeah. And it just blows my dome, like, that people out there are still listening to it.
Very much so.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know, like, what they're doing. Like, what is their, like, daily routine on the other side of the world?
Oh, yeah, listeners, if y'all are hearing this, like, tell us what y'all do on y'all's daily routine, like, in y'all's country. Like, we're curious because we know cultures are different. We know economics are different. Yeah. Peoples are different. Yeah, tell us what y'all do. Like, I'll tell you what we do. We work at a recycling plant, and, you know, we pretty much sleep half the fucking day, but we work night shift. What can you say? But, yeah, tell us what you do. We're curious.
And another thing is, I'm trying to figure out a way to where we can live stream an event so that way we can actually interact with our listeners on a live manner if we can get that set up. So maybe possibly Twitter, but I, or not Twitter, Twitch, I'm sorry. I was way fucking off. Possibly Twitch. Reddit, I don't believe I can live stream on anymore, but I'm going to try to check more into that. But I want to try to figure out a way so that we can live stream to all of you so that you can actually talk to us on a regular basis and have more opportunities to interact with us as live streaming so you can actually get more involved. I'm going to try to look more into that when I get the opportunity because I really want to try to do that again. I've done it before and it was a wonderful experience.
Hell yeah. Mm-mm. I'm trying to recollect back on 2023. What else has been going on? We've already talked about jobs. We've already talked about living.
I learned a lot about parenting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explain.
Okay. So the situation with me is that I let my kids move halfway across the country with their dad. Mm-hmm. And I see it more as a lot of mothers couldn't sacrifice that big of a thing.
Yeah.
For the best. And a lot of people like to look down on it versus... Because I made a better decision.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good on me, but it's right. Better for them.
And so. I think that's the shittiest thing for a parent. Like, it might not look good on you, but at the same time, if it's better for the kid, then...
Like, I will literally take all that shame because, I mean, it doesn't really make a fuck to me what somebody else is looking at me.
Same. Like
because I know at the end of the day, it sucks, like, terribly.
I would much rather be looked upon as a shameless... whatever menace to society and my daughter be treated like a queen versus me
uphold a
reputation for my daughter live a shitty life, you know?
I can't stand and I talk a lot of shit about my baby daddy's wife, but at the end of the day, I cannot deprive my kids of any form of love. Mm. Like, I want them to have as much as they can have. So I don't have to like it, but I got to fucking deal with it because she does literally... everything for them, so I ain't gotta like her, but I do respect her, so it taught me a lot, which has also taught me a lot with backtracking back to the temper thing, because at first I seen it more like she was like taking my place, but I was really defensive, I guess you would say.
That's fair.
But, you know, kudos to all the people who are stepping up to that and not being bitter about it.
Oh, yeah. Because... I salute my hat to any step-parent out there. Like, you're taking on a huge responsibility, a kid that's not even yours, but you're still willing to treat them like a human being.
I have a step-parent, so, I definitely.
Owen's really young, but he has surprised me a lot with how he is with my kids because he knows his boundaries, but he also plays his part. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes a lot, and I do respect any human that does it.
Which he also doesn't try to be like a dad to them. He just kind of helps me when I got to put my foot down, I guess.
Hey, sometimes you got to.
learned a lot spiritually this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Elaborate.
First time I ever did shrooms, it was a big mind opener.
How did that go? I want to hear this. Tell me everything. Like, describe.
Yeah, we enjoy hearing psychedelic trips.
Okay. I was raised more like as a Christian, but then whenever I stepped out of that, like away from everybody and figured shit out on my own, because a lot of stuff never made sense to me. So,
yeah,
I had a lot of questions, and then I just kind of, whatever made sense, I believed, I guess. Yeah. And then whenever I did shrooms, it made me, I guess, think more clearly, because I felt like I was in a much more clear headspace.
Yeah.
Like, I guess most people think whenever you're tripping on shrooms, it's more like a drug addiction type thing. But whenever you actually do it, it's a big spiritual awakening.
It is. Yeah. You learn something about yourself every time you trip. Every time.
Because the whole time I was tripping, I was really looking at myself like, what the fuck?
It's like, what am I doing? You do a life evaluation.
It is like, what are you doing?
It's like, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
But mostly it was because, like, I have panicked through all of my decisions. So it was kind of like, chill out and just like an acceptance type. I don't really know how to explain it, honestly.
Oh, I get you.
I feel like it's like, for me, it was one of those moments where it's like, we as humanity, we're connected. You
like
know,
a confirmation.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
It was a confirmation, because it's kind of like, it's like, how do I want to be treated? You know? Like, I'm going to treat. It makes sense. Like, if I treat someone like shit, they're probably more realistically going to treat.
Hi.
Somebody else like shit, you know, versus like, hey, if I treat people like I want to be treated, it's going to be a good day and the world's going to be a better place. And that's just how I view it, kind
of. I spent most of my 20s angry as fuck. And like now
For what reason?
I don't know. I was pissed off at everybody, at the world for like my childhood. Mm-hmm. But then like now that I'm past that, it was kind of like a... just to accept it.
Yeah.
And then just what you do next is mostly what's important.
Yeah, he is.
It's back to like the mind opening.
I hate you so much right now.
Wow.
I'm anxious as fuck. It's terrible. I hate it. It's not fun.
Marriage
will
like that.
The weed got her.
The weed got her. But yeah, I see where you're coming from on that one. Hell, I forgot what I was gonna say.
Yeah, I feel that. We have 20 minutes.
We do have about 20 to 18 minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. I just want to I am absolutely plastered. I am crossfaded as fuck.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It builds my character.
But another thing I am grateful for is meeting everybody here.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of conversations I could not have with people back home.
With, like, parents
so
and friends. Yeah.
Literally everything in general. Because it's just not what I agree with or what I feel like I belong in.
That. Right. You don't vibe with it.
Yeah. It just never made sense. And then now I'm around people who are kind of the same. I'm like, okay, I get it.
It's like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Finally.
Because the past 2 years, I literally felt like I was losing my fucking mind. I went to therapy. I got on fucking medication. And then I quit all that shit. And then I felt like I was losing my mind. And then moved in here. And I was like, I'm not losing my fucking mind.
You're not. Like, you're... You can see through the bullshit. That's the problem.
Maybe.
No, there's no maybe to it.
I kind of see it like people just have different ways of living and seeing things.
Yeah.
And there's just some people you can't break through to, so just you got to get away from them.
Yeah, it's up to them and their personal choices if they want to break through, yeah. You know.
And if I'm not with it, then fuck it.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, psychedelics kind of helped me definitely push through that boundary, but it did teach me a lot. And to be fair, it's like, how do you learn this much from a tab of acid or this much of shrooms?
It's mind-blowing how people look down on it so much. Versus, but if they knew how much it really fucking helped you, like, being an adult is so hard. Yeah. And then, like, walking into it, you're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Yeah, and then you, like, drop some fucking shrooms, and then you're like, okay. It all makes fucking sense.
It amazes me how, like, a simple fungus or a simple mycelium can teach so much into your brain versus, like, college and high school.
Especially for the people who are deficient in that area.
And it makes me wonder, like, what the fuck is our education system comprised of? Like, what is...
They've downplayed it. They've looked down on it versus seeing it as something that can help the people who don't have it, like, who don't produce that chemical.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck am I going to school for at this point? Like, I've learned this much from my goddamn mushroom, and you can't even teach me this much in the books.
Yeah. But there's you got to think about the people who can't learn from that, and they can only learn from, like, reading and shit.
Well, there's something special about mushrooms, though, because they make you think on a different level. Like, you're not thinking on the level of reality. You're thinking on the level of what your brain can explore.
Okay.
It's definitely, like, a way to unlock the mind to think outside of the realm of reality.
I don't think you should do it if you aren't on some type of journey. Like, if you're just some normal person and you drop shrooms, it's going to send you somewhere you don't fucking belong, or you don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Or you don't know how to handle that type of thoughts. You got to have some type of connection to that education, at least.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go in there just completely blind. Like, you meet somebody and say, hey, I got shrooms, and you're like, fuck it, I don't know nothing about it, and then do it. You're going to... lose your mind.
I agree. You need to definitely do your research before whether you smoke weed or do psychedelics. Just get online. There's millions of resources that'll tell you
what you don't believe it all, though, because a lot of things talk down on a lot of things.
I agree. And
everybody has their own experience.
And to be fair, about 80% of the websites you will come around will talk downly upon drugs.
Yeah. You got to meet the right.
Yeah. I don't condone drug use, but at the same time, I don't condone not doing them at all, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also the people who are doing the drugs that are not good for you, and they need the ones that are. I'm trying to tell them, like, hey, if you do this, it'll help you a lot.
Yeah, there's a place and time for everything, and it's up to you and your own conscience to know when it's right.
I just found out, like, within the last couple weeks that my mom did shrooms recently.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you think of
it? She said it helped her a lot, but she did it for her migraines and, like, headaches. She's got high blood pressure, and she was like, I needed to really relax.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm glad you're on board, because, boy, do I got a story for you. And it was actually cool that I could tell her that I did it and tell her the story without her being...
Oh, hell yeah.
Without her being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So, yeah, that was the good part about that.
Yeah, I wish my parents could do that, but they never will.
I never had a relationship with her until I was, like, 18, basically. She left whenever I was, like, 5, and then I seen her maybe, like, 6 times until I was 18, and then kind of went to her. Because I was pregnant, and I was like, yo, you got to be there for this, because I don't know what I'm doing.
I need an adult.
Yeah, for real. Somebody's got to call my doctor, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, moms do need to step up.
I also had to realize she didn't know what the fuck she was doing either. So.
Yeah.
Because my dad was a total piece of shit. So, got to realize she couldn't always. I don't know.
You just got to take a doctor's appointment by doctor appointment and just.
That's why I don't go, because I can't make my own appointments. I can make my kids' appointments and anybody else's, but not for me.
Really?
Yeah, I get really anxious. Like, if I got to make a dentist appointment, like, what's my birthday?
0 Fuck, how are we doing this?
Yeah, that's my mind just goes straight autism.
Do you want the year first? Do you want the month first? Tell me something.
Yeah.
I need details.
Yeah, it's. I felt like that in high school. Like, whenever they're like, hey, talk about yourself. Stand up. And I'm like, I don't know anything about me. I'm sweating really bad right now.
My favorite was, hey, you got to work in a group project. I'm like,
nope.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I'm that one person in the group who's like, don't fucking talk to me.
I'm the one person in the group like, hey, I know what I'm doing. Just tell me what to do and I'll do my section, but the rest of it's on y'all.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm going to do my own. I'll be that one odd number in the whole class who's got to do it by themselves.
That's fine.
Somebody's got to work alone. I'll do it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Gladly.
Yep.
I don't know how to talk to people. And they know more than me. I don't like how she colored that in.
She went outside the lines.
Yeah.
That bitch.
I would have used purple, but. Yeah.
I'm going to go check on Joshy Poo.
10 minutes.
9.
I went again too.
9 minutes. We are 9 minutes to midnight to start the new year, at least in our region anyway. For some of you, it may have has started already. For some of you, it hasn't. But let me tell you right now. As of right now, it's still the same. You're still sitting there, you know, thinking about what you had to do today, what you had to deal with this year, what you had to deal with this week, whether it was school, whether it was work, whether it was some other, like, personal obligation or some other thing you have to deal with. But think about this. Pretty soon, it's going to be a new year. You're going to be able to start the new year the way you want to start it. The moment it hits midnight, the moment that you take full control of it, and you can do what you want to do. So what are you going to do to start this new year? Some of you are working, and we appreciate your effort. We appreciate everything you do if you're working this New Year's Eve. Those of you that are off, take a moment and think about what you're going to do to start the new year, how you're going to start it. Whether it's just something simple as just spending time with somebody or reading a book or even just sleeping. Cool.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. Take care of yourself. And take 2023 as a learning curve. Whatever mistakes that you might have made in this past year, cool. That's the beauty of it. It's the past. Now take the lessons from the mistakes and build upon those and become a better for 2024. Like, yeah, sure, you could be that selfish piece of shit and you could sulk back and you could be like, well, humanity owes me everything. You know, I could... But in the long run, is that really how you want to live? I mean, sure, you could look in the mirror and tell yourself that all you want to, but I know realistically, that's not how people want to live. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody wants to do something, whether it be for themselves or for humanity, but either way, we normally want to do things for the greater good. And And I'm wishing every one of our listeners out there, every one of my roommates, every one of my friends, my family, everyone, I wish you all a happy New Year's, happy 2023. We wish you farewell, and we welcome aboard 2024. And as our for our listeners, we appreciate you giving us your time. We really, really do. We know you could be doing other things on this planet, and we really do appreciate you sending your ears next to, whether you're in the headphones or next to a speaker. We're glad to have you aboard. But on that note, I will pass it along to Tom Meadows and Valerie, and I'm going to sign off, and I wish you all a happy 2024.
Hell yeah. Same thing.
Good night, everybody. You bring in the new year with a smile on your face. May the tears that you cry in 2023 grease the cheeks that you clap in 2024. Thank you for listening to As the Dog Digs. Tune in next episode for more entertainment and debate. Until then, stay golden, listeners.